Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does John.
Obama nor I support
the Earth flat this afternoon. A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen from blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flash bombs and blasted the bill is working in tense partisan fight.
Hey guys, welcome back to Bob and Weave. He's Bob, I'm the Weave, and this is episode 4, where we're going to tackle something a little more fun than we've been doing.
Extremely controversial. And we are actually joined today for the first time by a guest. We have sitting across from us, I was going to say a high school teacher, but I don't know what you teach. What do you teach?
I teach U.S. history, one class world history, coach wrestling and softball.
All at the Niles High School.
Yep, the wonderful Niles High School.
Yep, and that voice right there is Mr. Tom Desenberg, and he's made me say clearly that he's not a Bigfoot expert.
I am not an expert.
So that's what we're talking about this week, guys, because haven't said it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Bigfoot.
And I do want to make a quick update before we go, before we move on with this. So a couple things. One, you probably don't even know this, Tom, the show's new, so we've only been out for a week now. So we're kind of getting our feet under us. We've kind of set it format wise because we cover some pretty heavy shit that like once a month, we're going to try to do something a little more fun, which is hence the Bigfoot episode. Also, a couple of listeners hit us back after the Botham Jean and Amber Geiger case and said that, we had mentioned about whether she was in uniform and I said, I don't think she was. She was in fact in uniform. And did have her bat belt with the taser and all that other. So she had other options with her. I want to make sure we cleared that up. And yeah, we're going to talk about Bigfoot today.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Where are you starting at with this? Now, I kind of know where Tommy's at. I don't think Bigfoot exists. What do you think?
I want to believe.
I do too. I want to believe Bigfoot exists, but it seems super unlikely to me.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is that. And yeah. Where's the fossil evidence? Shouldn't he be on a couple game cameras here and there?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you look at the Patterson-Gimlin film. You know, they captured him on with this old little reel-to-reel, whatever it is, camera. Now, every single human that walks in the woods ever has a smartphone on them with high-definition cameras on it.
Yeah, but they're dumbasses with smartphones.
That's true. We all have gotten a lot stupider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot more people are sitting in their houses playing video games instead of out walking in the woods, I guess. There's still people out there, but Zach did the majority of the research for this episode.
If we call it that.
Right. Well, it was probably more fun research than some of the other stuff we've
done. Yeah, it was a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really want to believe in this, but I'm that guy. I want to believe in the Loch Ness Monster, the UFOs, and I want to believe in all that stuff.
Right.
I typically don't, but I want to.
Well, I mean, that's a beautiful thing about the flat earthers is suddenly believing in Bigfoot is not that far-fetched anymore.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely don't believe in flat earth though.
Yeah. Right. But that's one that you want to talk about.
Want to talk about that, but that's not one that I believe in.
So yeah, with people coming with more crazy things out there that we just look, seems less crazy.
Yeah. We look more credible for believing in Sasquatch.
Yeah. Well, and this is like Bigfoot to me is it's not that far-fetched to think that there could be this creature in the especially in the Northwest out in the big woods that are out there and that we haven't seen it yet. It seems possible, but it also seems impossible that nobody's found him yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you have a couple films out there that could be real.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is kind of incredulous in the information age and the technology age that we haven't gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the things I'll point out, and, you know, as I think about this, you know, we spend a lot of time in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a black bear hunting in the woods?
While it was hunting? No.
Okay. Neither have I. I've never seen a black bear in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a disappointment. I spend a huge amount of time hunting, hiking, driving around up north. Never seen a black bear.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Because we know for a fact there's a lot of black bear. Where my cabin is up in the Baldwin Irons area.
Yep, I'm about 5 miles away.
Yeah, there's tons of black bear up there. I have them on game cameras. I have seen them up there, but never ever while I was out.
Yeah,
while I was out hunting.
I have one on game camera, and Scott got the same one a couple days later on his game camera on our camp. And I've seen tracks, never seen a black bear. And you start out there with the supposition that there are way more black bears across North America,
right,
than there are Sasquatch.
And most hunters probably haven't ever come across
a black bear. Yeah.
So Bigfoot sightings. Sightings. Did you guys watch the Finding Bigfoot series that was on Animal Planet back when it was, it's not on anymore, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't have cable anymore, but yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, it was, well, what got me with that is that they spoke with such veracity all the time.
Yep.
It was like, no, everybody knows that the females are 6 to 7 foot and they like it when you bang on it. It's like, you've never seen one.
Is that the one where the guy plays the drums in the woods? Is that the same film? Have you seen that one?
I think so. This was a series.
Yeah. There's a guy that goes out and plays the drums in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and he says that that's it helps them. It calms them down, and they'll come out if he plays the drums in the woods.
I haven't seen that, but has that guy ever seen one?
He says he has, multiple times.
Well, that's, I guess then he's got a little bit more credibility.
That one's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Well, Finding Bigfoot was a big one, and it was like, I watched, of course, like a lot of other people, I watched it regularly. Even though I knew it was like, I was like, how much money are they going to suck out of a show called Finding Bigfoot where they never find Bigfoot?
And those were not the people that were going to find him.
No. And why is that?
Well, they were just, you know, running around the woods way too noisy. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah. It just.
That's not how you find a Bigfoot.
No. Now, Monster Quest that was on the History Channel, I think was a lot better.
Okay.
And I watched that and I enjoyed that show. And I thought they had some good stuff. You know, they actually had an episode where they were in a cabin in Alaska and something was throwing rocks at the cabin. Now, it's the History Channel, you know, the same people that do ancient aliens.
Right.
So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But it seemed, you know, the people they had on the show, I thought, had a lot more credibility than the Finding Bigfoot people.
Did you were able to find how many? Because there's been a lot of sightings, right?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I found a couple numbers, but the numbers I found are all for just the U.S.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I found a number of 23,000 sightings in the U.S. That's a number they're giving us.
That seems like a lot for there not to be one.
Top 8 places to find Bigfoot in the U.S. Number 8 is Texas. Seems a little strange to me, but yeah. Texas. 806 sightings. Number 7, Oregon.
That I believe.
Yeah, I can believe Oregon. I think it would be higher on the list, don't you? I mean, it's number 7. So that's 1,009.
Okay.
Next on the list, this one confuses me, Ohio.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories about like the Ohio Grassman and in the Ohio Valley where you have all those hollers and it's woods, you know, it's a bottomland hardwoods. There's a lot of mast in the form of acorns, you know, the same reason you have big deer.
Right.
It makes sense that something like that could live there. And there's some isolated places down there.
Okay, so that's 1,042. Number 5 on the list, New York, with 1,068, which I could see, like northern New York.
Yeah,
makes sense. Number 4, a little proud of this one, Michigan.
Yes.
Yep. 1,131 sightings. Yep. And Michigan makes sense, not just because we're here, but the UP, that, you know what I mean? Like, that's
right.
Rustic as hell up there.
I used to go inner tubing on the Osabel, you know, the northern lower on the Huron side. In Altoona County, and what was the other one right there? Yeah, I can't remember. Altoona County is a hotbed of Michigan Bigfoot.
Really?
There were a lot of stories about that. Big swampy areas, a lot of national forest land.
Well, I could totally see. And one of the sites you were looking at earlier said there's been some sightings right here in Berrien County.
I'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical of those, though.
Number 3 is Pennsylvania, 1,340.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Those are big rolling woods.
Number 2, California,
1,697,
which Northern California makes sense, but it also makes sense with the population.
Right.
There's more people there. There's more chances of sightings. Number 1, Washington, 2,032.
In the Pacific Northwest.
Yep. The thing that kind of baffles me, though, is you'd think you'd see more like North Carolina, some of those areas like that, the mountainous, kind of hilly, overgrown areas.
But have you ever been to the Pacific Northwest?
No.
Have you ever been there?
I've been I've been to Montana and Idaho, but not really.
So 2 summers ago, we took our kids for vacation. We did it, which is horrible. Don't ever do this. If you have 4 kids, to get to rent an RV and spend 2 weeks going out west. We wanted to, before my older, Becky's oldest, my stepson graduated high school, we wanted to do a big cross the country trip with all of them. And we went to Yellowstone and all the way, and we went to the Pacific Northwest up to the Redwoods in Northern California. It's an area where they supposedly are and that no one has seen them. Totally got it when I was driving through specifically Oregon, and we were just kind of cutting through the southern part of it. But that was the longest 8 hours of my life. It was like, it's just nothing but beauty. And when you start driving it, it's like, it's beautiful. You can see, you know, you crest the top of this mountainous area and look into these valleys, and they go on forever in every direction without a single house, a light pole, a white, nothing. And then you spend an hour going down the valley, up, crest the next hill, and it's the same thing. And then you do it again and again and again and again. And then you're running out of gas and you're getting nervous. Which is so there's so much open space in Northern California and Southern Oregon. At least those are the areas where I've personally been. I mean, I could see a lot of things living there that nobody's found before.
Yeah. The biggest wilderness area I've ever been in is Boundary Waters in Northern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are moose everywhere.
Right.
And that was one of the goals, is I want to see a moose.
Uh-huh.
I only saw one, you know, and it's packed in real tight forest. Mm-hmm. You know, we're used to the national forest here in Michigan that had been logged off once,
mm-hmm.
and now they're growing back, and they're pretty open.
Right.
But, you know, those old, especially the northern forests like that, that are still pretty pristine, I mean, they're thick.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to see anything in there.
I think the number I'd like to see is British Columbia. That's the one I couldn't find a number for, but I feel like there's got to be a ton of sightings.
Okay.
In like that Vancouver, maybe outside of Vancouver, that British Columbia province up there.
There was a Monster Quest episode that talked about Vancouver Island and mm-hmm. Bigfoot's in the coastal islands. And it was pretty interesting.
So a lot of these numbers came off a website. It's BFRO.net. It's the Bigfoot Field Research Organization.
And those were the people that were on the Finding Sasquatch show.
Okay.
And that's Bigfoot show. Yeah.
That website actually had it listed. You could go by state and by county. And I looked it up. There was three listings in Bexar County. I want to say 2012, 94, and like the 70s were the three. And one of them had pictures and all sorts of stuff.
Well, you know, I don't know if you checked Cass County, but in 60, I'll say mid-60s, I don't know the exact year, there was the Sisters Lake Monster that was a Bigfoot-like creature that was sighted numerous times over the summer. People were coming in hunting for it and all that good stuff.
I didn't look up Cass County. More so, I was just kind of pulling up stuff quickly and found Bering and just clicked it because that's where we're at, just to think about it. But
well, so one of the people that I was looking to try to get on here was a guy in Bering County that claims to have seen Bigfoot here in Bering County a couple times. And there's guys that I know that work with him that are like, he's like the most straight-laced, straight shooter guy you could think of. Not the kind of guy that would make up a story, but never heard back from him.
And the most recent one I found in the news, and there may be more recent ones, but the most recent one I found in the news was July 31st of this year. There was a camper that shot at one at Mammoth Cave.
In Kentucky?
In Kentucky.
He shot at it.
Shot at it. Yeah.
How is there no video? Like who? People video every. They video their breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how are people not popping their phone up?
Well, this was supposed to be startled at night. Got out of the tent. Shot at it.
I'd like to think I'm a good photographer, and that's actually one of my hobbies. Mm-hmm. But you know, I can take the fuzziest photos on the face of the earth with an iPhone. It's like I know it's a good picture, and then I look at it and go, you know, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there are some of those out there, and then people aren't even going to try to say anything because I got this picture. It's nothing but blur and foliage in the forest.
Right.
Well, I think Bigfoot is blurry.
Probably. That would explain.
That's the problem.
That's the problem is he is blurry. Have you seen the Todd Standing film? Discovering, what's it called? Something. I just wrote it down. Yeah. Discovering Bigfoot.
No, I have not.
That's an interesting one. It's about 2 hours of him tromping through the woods in BC.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely an interesting film, and I think he's kind of right now is kind of like the front runner for the Bigfoot movement.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one he's brought up. He actually filed a lawsuit against British Columbia to try to get them to recognize Bigfoot. He filed a lawsuit against California to try to get California to recognize Bigfoot.
Is that for real though? He's like
genuinely
filing lawsuits because they won't recognize an animal no one's ever seen.
Yep. And the British Columbia threw it out.
Has no proof of it.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure California threw theirs out too.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did just look up Cass County, Michigan. It said, maybe I don't know how the site works because it said three sightings. When I clicked it, I only shows two.
Well, it doesn't like you.
But it says July 2001 is a Class A sighting.
Yeah, I used to go to that website quite a bit. my fascination with Bigfoot started with an argument with a science teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They were using the day after tomorrow to teach, to facilitate conversation about global climate change.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, why don't you just teach kids about Bigfoot? I'm sure there's better scientific evidence about that.
Right.
So I started researching. I was like, well, maybe there is. You know, then that's mm-hmm. where I started, you know, thinking that maybe this is real.
Now, you brought a book in with you.
I did.
Is this a book you purchased for this occasion, or is that in your library of books?
Oh, it's in my library. This one was actually a Secret Santa present from another teacher at work because I was fascinated with Bigfoot.
Okay.
And they knew it, so they bought it. It's by Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum. It's called Sasquatch, Legend Meets Science.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a professor of anthropology and biomechanics, kinesiology type of thing at Idaho.
Okay.
Idaho State or University of Idaho. And he's actually put some thought into this. He's built models of what he thinks like a Sasquatch ankle would look like to support the huge amount of weight. In one of the episodes of Monster Quest, they broke down the Patterson video. And he explained the gait, why it would walk in that manner.
Right.
So it is kind of interesting. You know, he designs a whole ankle. He talks about, you know, when you walk on a beach and you go heel, then toes,
mm-hmm.
and your toe and your front foot pushes back, it pushes that ridge of sand.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a different location on a Sasquatch based on the ankle. And he has the casts that say, hey, this is way different than human.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of put a lot of thought into that, as did another dude named Grover Krantz, mm-hmm. who was an anthropologist that taught at a couple different universities. So those are the two scientific Bigfoot researchers.
Okay. And so his conclusion is that Bigfoot is real.
He doesn't come right out and say it, but he believes so. And mm-hmm. he points to a preponderance. I just tapped the table. Sorry.
That's the thing. That's I would yell at Zach if he did.
Yeah, normally it's me. So yeah.
Sorry.
Glad it was you this time.
Yeah. You know, he has a number of evidence like that. And a lot of it predates the internet. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you're hoaxing it, you go to the internet, get your information. Where do you get the information to hoax things in the 70s?
Or when the Patterson-Gimlinville, which was 1967.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, because we keep talking about it, let me throw that up here while I got things working again. I think it's hard to find just here's the footage.
Yeah.
I have somewhere along the line I did see. So these are two guys that they were out looking for Bigfoot, if memory serves.
Yep. There are two rancher cowboy rodeo guys from the Pacific Northwest. That after there were a bunch of tracks spotted by a construction crew in California, they decided, hey, let's go there.
Okay. And they spent weeks, didn't they, out on horseback?
Yep. And going around. And when they took the picture, you know, famously, a lot of people say, it's a hoax. Gimlin, he said, well, if it's a hoax, those guys were pretty gutsy because they didn't tell me about it. And while Patterson's filming, I have my rifle and I'm standing right behind him.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot that goes to it. People claimed, oh, it was me in a monkey suit. And
right. Yeah, because somebody came forward, didn't they, at some point and said that it was him.
Yeah, like a big stunt man that was like 7 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the things that they broke down when Meldrum and Monster Quest, they computerized and they put like the joints and the bones and how everything would move and to explain it. And they're like, yeah, it would be hard for a dude to do that.
So what happened? I want to see if I can find information on him here in a minute, because I thought I remembered here. It might have been on Rogan or something. I heard them say that, yeah, a guy came forward and said that was me. Did the guy claim that it was him and Patterson and Gimlin put him up to it, or that he just tricked them?
That they had put him up to it.
Okay. If that's the case, I will have to say they're pretty good actors, because when you watch the – you know, we've all seen on TV shows the little clips of Bigfoot walking, but a lot of that's, which I think this is too, where they've like people have taken later and stabilized the video and stuff. Because somewhere along the line online, I found the raw video. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it multiple times.
You know, where it's like he's on a horse, he jumps down, the camera's shaking, he's running. You mentioned the guns, you hear him say, cover me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
Gimlin had the rifle and Patterson had the video
had the camera. Yeah, so he's saying, cover me.
Part of the confusion of it all, evidently it was originally at the wrong speed or recorded at the wrong speed, and then digitally you can kind of speed it up to the right speed, so
right.
It looks better.
Yeah, it was filmed at something like, they say like 12 or 24 frames per second, which typically you do, you know, 30 or 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
And so that's what a lot of people have done, is they've sped it up and zoomed it. So I'm going to play it just so we can see what we're talking about.
And this gun, I kind of, oh, just these guys go in the woods and they find the Bigfoot. You know, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
But they were responding to reports of all these construction workers at Bluff Creek.
They were California. Saying they were seeing
prints. Hey, we were finding these giant prints.
Right. And this video is behind you, Tom. You can see they're freezing it and trying to do high resolution photos.
Yeah.
As he's walking.
She.
Well, yeah, because she has breasts.
Yes. Yes. That's the what they extrapolate from this.
What do they call? They call her Patty. Is that?
Yeah.
The,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple frames where you can see the heel. And the bottom of the foot picks up in a very flat manner.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things that they pointed out with the kind of the biomechanics of where the ankle would move.
Right.
Towards the toes as opposed to a human where it's at the back.
Right.
That would change a little bit. And there's not a clearly defined heel when you look at Meldrum's model. It's much more of a flat kind of rocking surface rather than heel and then toes going in.
So you think that video is legit?
You know, I would really like to. I do, in my heart of hearts, think so. You know, I've never seen Bigfoot. I don't have any conclusive proof, but I think it looks legit.
I feel kind of both ways on it because it feels to me like, what are the odds that these guys say, let's go look for Bigfoot. We found him. But like you said, it was in response to something.
Yeah. You know, an interesting thing there is if these guys are riding horses, how much does that cover the human scent?
Well, and that was going to be my other thing as a hunter, someone who's in the woods often. This is a wild, it's obviously, if it exists, an elusive wild creature. His behavior is the reason I always thought that video was bullshit. Because like when he looks up and sees somebody, doesn't retreat, doesn't hide, just is like, do, looks back and just kind of wanders off into the woods. It just seems too perfect to me.
Yeah.
Zach, your thoughts?
I don't know if I have any. On this, I mean, it's pretty evident it's something, you know, is it a man? Is it that? Like you said, if it's not Bigfoot and it's not a person that they put up to do it and it's just a person doing it, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
To be out there just walking around because you're probably going to get shot, you know.
Especially in 1967.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there's no way that anybody like hoaxed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there was a hoax, they were in on it.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem... You know, I've seen some interviews with like Gimlin. I've never seen any with Patterson, and he seems to be telling the truth. You know, he passes the BS test when you're looking at it and watching it.
I was just watching a video with him, and he was talking about, you know, and I don't know what I know. There was some conflict between the two of them, and then one of them, I think it was Gimlin, like sold his share of the video for like $10 because he was pissed off at Patterson,
yeah,
or something like that along the years. While you're going through whatever you have next here, do you know the name of the guy that claimed to be?
It was Bob Hieronymus, like H-E-I-R, anonymous. I don't know. I guarantee it's in the book.
I got it.
The Todd Standing documentary that I was talking about, he has two actual videos in there of two sightings, one of which is pretty sketchy, one of which just looks like a guy in a suit. The second one is definitely something. But it could also just be a close-up of a gorilla, or you know what I mean? It's hard to tell.
The two ones I've seen that you look at and say, okay, maybe, and their motion in them and all that, are the Freeman footage from 1994. Paul Freeman was a National Forest Service worker who thought he saw a Bigfoot on a number of occasions, so he started carrying a camera with him because people were clowning him.
And where was that at?
Washington State, yeah. So he caught what was called the Freeman footage in 1994 of Southeast Washington. And then there's the Memorial Day, which is from Northern Washington, where Owen and Lori Pate were camping out over Memorial Day weekend, and they captured on their camera a figure running across the hillside.
Okay.
It is booking.
Yeah.
And that's another one that they tried to recreate as far as speed and pace with a human runner on Monster Quest. You know, once again, it's a TV show. You can kind of edit things and change things as you want. But I think the people involved in the show, they seem pretty upfront and legit that, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be involved if they were scamming stuff.
Right.
And one of them was Meldrum.
The problem with that is that I recently made a TV show, and there's a battle that goes on between, like in my case, it's my show, my intellectual property. I'm the star of the show. but I also have a showrunner that works for the network that I'm working for.
And they want to see what they want to put on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, even if the, you know, the scientists are like, I don't want to do this. And like, nope, you're going to do this. This is what the show's going to look like. Or they just edit it together to make it look like that.
Yeah.
I want to see what this is here. This says Bob Hieronymus and Philip Morris talk about hoaxing. Talk about the hoaxing. It's 2 minutes and 30 seconds. See what these guys have to say if I'm still on the proper Wi-Fi. And
so while he's doing that, do you believe that there is a population across the United States or across North America? Or do you think it's more isolated than that and some of these other ones are not believable?
I think the Pacific Northwest and Canada are the most believable.
Okay.
Northern California, too. But, you know, the Southern Bigfoots. And you hear a lot about the, like, the Skunk Ape.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one in Florida?
Yep. The Wachita Mountains in Arkansas, Missouri area, the Ozarks, those areas. Yeah, I think they're kind of reasonable, too. One of the things I point out in, you know, in my notes from Meldrum's book is he talks about Bergman's rule. In a species, the further north you go, the bigger they get.
Okay.
And that holds true with samples from the 60s and the 70s of track size and reported height.
Makes sense.
And a couple scientists, they charted that out, and they're like, well, Bergman's rule is kind of the California ones are slightly smaller than the Washington and the Oregon.
Mm-hmm. I'm unfamiliar with that. Is that just with any species of animal?
And any species within that species.
Okay.
So if you have like a timber wolf, the closer they get to the Arctic Circle, the bigger they are, the more weight. And, you know, that also, when you start getting big and monumental, you have a bigger gut.
Right.
So you have the ability to digest stuff that you and I would not be able to digest. So you're saying, well, what would you eat? Human-like food. They'd be better able to survive on grasses and things like that than a human would.
Right. Did you have something there? Or you want me to hit this?
I was just curious about that.
Okay, let me see what this guy. This is the guy that claims he hoaxed everybody. I assume there's sound. Okay, so yeah, we got a problem.
You broke it.
Okay, I'll come back to this because I've just realized what I did wrong.
Yeah, the population across the states is, or across the continent, is kind of the one that gets me because, you know, maybe they're not necessarily exactly the same species. You know, I mean, that's the same thing with like deer. There's deer across the United States, but they're different, you know. So
you have white tail, you have coos, black tail. Yeah.
So I could see that as well with the Bigfoot, the big feet, the big foots.
Yeah. So that's, you know, they're all different. Well, even within just white tail deer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, a Kansas white tail is a little bit different than a Michigan white tail, than a Canadian white tail. I think I have a sound problem fixed here.
Stop this Bigfoot, the original footage, you're doing it again, but this time it's all to prove it's just all a hoax. Mia Sabatino has more.
Things that rot or change, like you said.
This is a replica of that gorilla suit that appeared in the original Bigfoot film, made famous in the 1960s by Yakima man Roger Patterson. But Hieronymus says he got $1,000 to wear the suit while Patterson filmed him in Bluff Creek, California.
They're going to make this movie of this Bigfoot. Take it to Hollywood, sell it to the movie people down there, and make loads of money off it.
For years, only a handful of people knew the truth.
To sell for as high as $7,000 to $8,000.
One of them is Philip Morris.
Is that the guy that's saying he was in the suit? Or am I just, I'm trying to figure this out here.
With all the weird clicking that's in this video.
Yeah, but the guy that Bob is the guy that says guy he was in the suit. In the suit. Okay, all right, you can continue.
He and his wife sewed the costume together in their basement and sold it to Patterson. But Morris says he was surprised when Patterson didn't come forward.
And I, as a professional costumer, had the responsibility not to interfere because he bought the suit from us to use in what I considered really a theatrical production.
Curious about the background, a writer finally put the mystery to rest and printed the story behind the making of Bigfoot in a book.
The amazing thing is that this story has been hidden, so to speak, here in Yakima for 37 years. But and none of the Bigfoot believers took the time to come down and do the job that I did. It was certainly a matter of going around to where Roger Patterson himself lived, to talk to neighbors and friends of Patterson, and follow the leads and see where they took me. And they took me to Bob Hieronymus.
They're outing the secret in a TV segment for National Geographic, and they say this time it is a true story.
I decided then it was time to believe the truth about this Bigfoot film. It was a hoax.
In Yakima,
that guy doesn't seem big enough. He doesn't seem tall enough to me, if he's the guy.
Wasn't he? Well, they didn't really show him standing up, did they? Because he was like a stuntman or something, right?
That's the story I've heard. But yeah, the suit doesn't.
That's not him standing there, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is.
And that other gentleman was standing next to a reporter.
Yeah.
A female reporter. You know, I think they did a little bit of photogrammetry on it, and they say that that individual was pretty large, 7 foot or so.
Yeah.
That's in the Patterson film.
Well, the problem with going through the any kind of photogrammetry work is you
which
have to
we
have,
know at this point.
Yeah. You have to have known measurements, you know, so there, and that didn't happen until decades later. So, you know, it, like if they could go, have gone back in 1967 and said this stump is.
Yeah. Hold up a ruler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This far and this far and this far, then you could input that into some equations to figure out exactly how tall he is. I know people have done that, but I don't know how they can without having the the actual measurements.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that on that Finding Bigfoot show, I think, they went to prove that it was real.
You did that on a case that you covered. Mm-hmm. They went in and did photogrammetry without known measurements.
It
didn't turn out so well.
They said that a 5'8" guy was 6'1".
Yeah. See?
Basically, they guessed.
That's almost like the old Buchanan football rosters.
Frank's rosters, yeah, that we were all the same. Everyone was the exact same size.
And weren't we like all 6'1", 185?
Yep.
I think so.
Everybody on the roster. Yeah. Instead of just not putting it on the rosters, it said every single player on the team was 6'1", 185 pounds. So what do you make of that? I mean, why is this guy coming forward? Is he making money off of this?
I don't know.
Yeah, but do you think it's money or do you think it's just he wants his 15 minutes of fame? Because I think that's more likely than any monetary, because how do you expect to get any monetary value out of that? But you could definitely get your 15 minutes of fame saying I was in the Bigfoot suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. On Wikipedia, our best source of information, Hieronymus fits the definition of a visionary and artist. He did not attend it. Is this the right guy?
I'm not sure that it is.
It's not saying anything about Bigfoot at all.
You think you'd lead with that? That would be
right. That would be where you'd start with it. Bigfoot, the inside story. I guess one thing is that even if the Patterson-Gimlin film is a hoax, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's no Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the sightings are black bears and a lot of the tracks are black bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've seen black bear tracks, here and there on the strides, the front foot and the back foot overlap.
Uh-huh.
It looks like a big old giant human footprint.
Right.
But fresh, it has claws. You know, once it degrades a little bit, you're like, oh, that's Bigfoot.
Hmm.
I never thought about that. I was going to say, their feet aren't long, but yeah, if they just put boom, boom, then it ends up looking like this long, long track.
Yeah. Like a humanoid or primate
track. Have there been any other videos that have surfaced that have been...
Have you ever seen the Eagle Cam from Northern Michigan?
The Eagle Cam?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a Bigfoot thing?
Yep. Check Bigfoot on an eagle cam. They had a camera pointed at an eagle nest, and it captured something walking upright through the corner of the picture.
All right.
So it's fuzzy, blurry footage, like all Bigfoot footage, but yeah.
Oh, let's see this.
Okay, what the fuck is that? This is far more compelling to me than the Gimlin film.
I don't think so.
There's another one.
To me, that reads more like a person than the Gimlin film.
That does?
Yeah. I mean, let's continue to watch here for a second, but...
Who owns the Eagle Cam?
I can't remember. It's up north, the Traverse City area somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember.
I mean, is this something from the DNR?
It might be.
I think he's off camera now. So for those of you that are listening and not watching on YouTube, if you look up Bigfoot sighting on Michigan Live Eagle Cam on YouTube, it's a camera on, obviously, this nest of baby eagles.
The squeaking noises.
Right. Yeah. That wasn't us. That was on the show. But so the focus is there, but then you see in the background this big, black, tall, bipedal creature walking. You think that's a person? Or you think it's like a person in a suit, like a hoax? Or you just think it's a person walking around?
I think it can just be a person walking around. The color of it doesn't mean anything to me based on where the camera's focused.
Uh-huh.
You're going to lose definition in color. The movements don't, I don't really see anything movement wise that reads anything other than a person to me.
I'm going to play this again.
Let's play it again.
Because now I know where I'm looking when it comes into frame.
My job is to play the other side of the fence. That's right. What I'm doing here.
I think if that's
so you can't really even tell what's going on right there.
I think if that's a person, that's a hoax. Then like an intentional. Oh, I don't think
walking awkwardly and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's just a person walking by and we can't tell because it's out of focus. The feet or the bottom of the legs are huge.
Yeah, but that could be wearing Carhartts. That could be wearing
significant arm swing. And
it just hopped like a fucking monkey. Like, that's not a person. I would say that's not a person that just happens to be walking by. Like, if that's a person, that's a person in a monkey suit.
See, the arm swing to me reads balance. It doesn't read arm swing.
Yeah.
It reads like you're walking across sticks. You're walking across, you're walking across something that's
unlevel. But why can't a Bigfoot balance himself?
I'm not saying it can't, but that's what it reads to me. But that's my job.
Right.
My job is to play that side of the fence. So.
All right. There's another video.
Okay.
I have no idea what you'd call it. It's a police dash cam from Georgia, if I remember correctly. Of something running across the road in front of the cops.
Did you know that you can actually hunt Bigfoot with Jose Canseco, the baseball player?
What?
Yeah, you can pay him $5,000 and go on a hunt for Bigfoot.
For the low price of $5,000?
The low price of $5,000, you can hunt.
If I can hit a home run off his forehead.
Yeah.
Right.
But you could do some cocaine.
You would only be the second person
I'll
to do that.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Probably do some cocaine with him too while you're at it. I mean, he's pretty far out there.
So obviously he's a Bigfoot believer, or is this just a way for Jose Canseco to make $5,000.
I'm saying the latter.
Are there any reviews on this website?
No, right. I haven't seen. I mean, I didn't really pull it up. I just saw that. But apparently he's a Bigfoot and UFO guy. So
I'm no Jose Canseco, but I will take you Bigfoot hunting for $500.
Sounds good.
90%.
That's a deal.
Right. Reduction.
Yeah. Sale this time only.
This one time only, $500.
Yeah. Sounds like a good deal to me.
I felt like I was Bigfoot hunting this morning. So here is Police Cruiser Evidence, is what it's titled on YouTube, if you're listening and not watching. Finding Bigfoot. So this might be from the show.
Yeah, they featured it on the show one time.
Ooh, that intro's rough.
This is it.
Fucking Bobo.
Here to cross right here.
This is the show you were talking about earlier? Because this is definitely not what I was talking about.
55 miles an hour.
There's a documentary on Netflix called Finding Bigfoot.
Oh, no, this is a show.
It was that's where the guy plays the drums. Night, there was not another car on the road. All of a sudden, with no notice whatsoever, this very tall, very furry, very fast creature comes from that side of the road.
What the crap? Did you see that?
Yes. Shoots down here.
Didn't see anything.
We're of course going too fast to stop
immediately. Didn't do us any
so we hit the brakes, spun around, immediately came back.
Thought I was seeing things actually.
Oh my goodness, please tell me we got that on video.
The officer puts on the blue lights, we jump out of the car. The officer had a
hell
big
no.
gun drawn.
If I thought I saw Bigfoot, there's no way I'm jumping out of the damn car.
Whatever it was gone. I was shocked.
Not a chance.
When I saw it, because it was so big, and normally in North Georgia,
show the actual raw
animals jump out, but it's either usually deer, occasionally a black bear. That's it. Nothing that large and standing so erect and running so fast.
So we know that there are a lot of black bears here, but this thing was on two legs the entire time.
I have seen black bears. I've had two even run across in front of me before. No comparison, none.
What I gathered from Mary Scott is that she firmly believed that they saw a Sasquatch. At no point did she even bring up the possibility that this was a person in a costume. She also just outright dismissed the possibility that it was a bear.
Oh, God.
And you said that was a police dash cam?
Yeah, okay. I've actually seen it where it wasn't pixelated like that.
Yeah, it's a little more convincing.
Yeah, yeah. There is the Freeman video, which was old.
The Freeman video?
Yeah, that was the national forest worker out in Washington. And it's blurry. It was obviously a VHS or a mini VHS camera from the time period.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea which one of those it is?
That one.
This one here?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is some of those little ones' tracks that's in here. I come back up there today to cast these.
This is 7 minutes that they have somewhere where you actually see. Because I saw a video someone showed me. Or I was,
yeah, I'm going to looking up some black
and here. It looked for sure Photoshop.
Poorly. Now I got my cast made.
So is this guy going to show a video of the thing actually walking, or is it just his footprints we're seeing?
I think there is towards the end. Like he took his camera and like turned it on, turned it off. Through number them, that might be.
Sometimes they come here and get water.
No, maybe not.
It's full length original footage. So was it like he was looking at tracks when all of a sudden the thing pops up?
Yeah, go ahead and drag it down, see what we can see before we watch all the. Yeah, I think it should be like that section through there.
Right here?
Yeah. And you see like the shoulders and head, maybe, you know, it's grainy. Mm-hmm.
Popping and stuff.
Oh, right there.
Oh, there he goes.
That looks like a fat hunter walking through the woods. This guy seems completely full of shit to me.
Look up the Todd Standing trailer, because it's a 2-hour documentary. You don't want to fucking try to find anything in there.
Todd Standing trailer?
Trailer. 2 D's. It's on Todd. I don't know how many people ever spell Todd with 1 D. It's the Discovering Bigfoot, the third one down.
This guy?
Mm-hmm.
Minute 40. This is what's going to convince me there's a Bigfoot?
No, I don't know, but this is the film that I've seen recently. Gonna blow us out of the water here. Also, this guy is slightly lunatic. That's not Bigfoot, that's him being an idiot.
Last bit of battery power in my camera, I was able to film these incredible images in full HD at 50 times optical zoom. You'll feel the fear.
Discovering Bigfoot, that's called.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. Did you say that was on Netflix?
Yeah.
Discovering Bigfoot.
But he's got that clip at the end. He's got 2 or 3 clips like that throughout the movie that they show more in detail.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, one looks like it's an outfit, like a suit. But the other one is definitely a real animal. It's definitely a real primate. but it also could just be somebody filming in a zoo, you know?
but to me, if one of them is a dude in a suit, then how can you believe any of the rest of it?
Yeah.
True. It's hard to say.
We got a bunch of real Bigfoot. Let's throw in one more fake Bigfoot just to...
But is that just somebody trying to prove their point? You know what I mean? Like, they believe they've seen Bigfoot so profoundly that they are going to now try to make up evidence to prove to you that they saw it. Maybe they really do believe they saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Possible.
You know.
People will do that. I mean, that's really kind of what this whole show is about, is people that get so caught up in their own ideals and viewpoints that they end up like losing all sense of logic in order to try to win an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's possible.
A number of the casts taken starting in 1969 show dermal ridges.
Okay.
So that's your fingerprints, swirls.
Uh-huh.
They run lengthwise across the foot of the Bigfoot.
Okay.
There are a number that show scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And in 69, there was one that was found in cast called Cripple Foot that is an example of what could be a club foot.
So club foot Bigfoot.
Yeah. So you think about the pre-internet days, where do you get this kind of information? Where do you, you know,
right.
If you're going to fake it, it would be a lot more difficult to fake, you know? And we care.
It's awful pretty intricate to fake it in that way.
So, you know, you have that going through some other stuff. There's been some scat found that was studied in the 60s. And that's the thing is, where is the DNA technology today on the scat? And I'm not hearing anything about it. So that's, you know, in the back of your mind, you say that's like the fossil evidence. It's just not there.
Right.
But a dude by the name of Ivan Sanderson, he was a doctor, one of those universities out there, was studying scat that was all vegetable matter.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found were worm casings and eggs that were, it's a specific genus of the Trichinosis worm that it grows in size, and the egg cases grow in size per the host.
Okay.
Too big to be human, not black bear, not, but matched up to old world primates from Asia.
These were found in the scat?
In the scat.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. And then you have kind of the worldwide phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
There's Yeti. In Russia, they call it the Almas.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of Almasti too. I think Almas is the one though. The Yeren in China. The Orin Maurus in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Orin Pendak. That's the tiny one.
Okay.
That's in like Indonesia.
I didn't know there was a tiny Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, it's a tiny primate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Bigfoot.
Right.
But then you have Australia has the Yowie.
Mm-hmm.
Which then that's like, well, hold on a second. How do they get to Australia? So you think that one, okay, that's probably BS.
Unless they're just native to.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's other animals.
I mean,
there.
How did the kangaroos get there?
Yeah. But if you're saying it's a Australian Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
it has to get, you know, it would have to be a different evolutionary process.
Right.
So maybe the Australian Bigfoot, the Yowie, is a marsupial Bigfoot for all we know. Which that's BS. You know, I'm not buying the Australian one just because of distribution across the Northern Hemisphere, where you can explain it away with the bridge across Siberia, like all the other animals got here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But how do you get to Australia?
Swim. Point. You got to swim.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. How do we know Bigfoot can't swim?
Maybe
that's a long swim though.
Jesus. Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Yeah. We're getting in the deep end now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. The dermal ridges is always the one that I thought, you know, yeah.
So, when you're talking dermal ridges, you're talking like fingerprints.
Yeah. And they've also, you concentrate on the foot cast. They've also done casts of handprints where kneeling down into the dirt.
Right.
There was a picture one taken on the side of a trailer home in Fort Bragg, California. That's kind of cool. You know, the ratio of palm to fingers on a human, it's way off.
Okay.
The palm is much bigger, and then the fingers are shorter in ratio, but it's giant.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, how would you know to fake that and then have that consistently across?
Right.
You know, and that was back in the 60s they found that.
Well, a lot of that stuff makes sense. You know, it's the same thing when I'm looking at, we just did on our other show, Truth and Justice, one of our cases we were working, the state's theory was that it was a staged robbery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically it looks like a robbery gone wrong. Man gets murdered, and then the state says no, the wife murdered him and made it look like a robbery, and it was kind of the same type of thing. So like remember in Jamie Melgar the red rope, so like there's a rope wrapped around him that's like laid across him, but when you look at it, it wasn't actually tied. It looks like he fought and he broke away before they could get it tied. It's like, how, like, no one stages something that elaborately. You might tie him up and say, oh, look, he was tied up. Mm-hmm. But to make it look like someone tried to tie him up, started to, almost got there and didn't finish the knot. Same type of thing. Like, why? Yeah. How do you stage it that far? And at that time, before nobody, I mean, certainly no one would think the technology would be out there to look at that stuff.
Yeah. You know, to do research like that, you'd end up at a university library or something like that. You know, like,
right,
looking at like a gorilla handprint or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, there's a difference, you know, because of the opposable thumb,
right,
that you see in gorillas. It's not as opposable. I mean, it's off on an angle, but it's not
right.
Bigfoot
like on the handprint. Is it like, because like a human's, our hands are more round, where a gorilla or an ape of any kind, usually the thumb comes out like more down here, like further down.
Well, let me find the picture. There it is. Yeah, that's the Fort Bragg handprint.
Okay.
An artist rendition next to a human handprint. And then on this side, you have various primate handprints.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a human, a chimpanzee, and a gorilla. So it's, you know, the gorilla is lower, not as large.
Uh-huh.
And then the Bigfoot's lower, like, you know, not quite as low as gorilla, but actually, you know, opposable looking thumb there.
Right.
If it is a Sasquatch print.
That's pretty interesting.
Well, and who's to say, I would say really that Sasquatches isn't, I mean, when we're thinking of Sasquatch in the terms of some mythical monster, it seems really unlikely, but who's to say it's just not just another species of primate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Gigantopithecus theory, you know, it's a, you know, they only found out about it by finding bones in a Chinese apothecary's shop.
Okay.
You know, because they were grinding them down to make medicine and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So they find this jawbone and they theorize a whole giant primate off of that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, they only have the jawbone. But they also theorize that it was probably not bipedal. So that kind of shoots the Bigfoot.
But that's all based off a jawbone.
Yeah.
That's a, seems like a stretch.
Yeah.
From one bone.
They were found in a cave in China back mm-hmm. in the 1920s.
I don't know. I say that I go both ways absolutely, because I don't think that it's possible that someone wouldn't have clear and convincing proof that it exists.
Yeah. And fossil evidence and better, right. better camera evidence.
Right.
Yeah.
And
then the DNA today that you could do with scat testing.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it doesn't, you know, I think it's a little arrogant to think that we must know every single species that exists in the world, and there's no way that it doesn't.
Yeah, I can't remember what that number is, but there is a number out there that they say that there is X amount of species found every day that we didn't know existed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, most of them are, you know, minuscule. They're insects and bacteria and,
right.
and that kind of things, but it would just be cool that there's something out there roaming around that we don't know about.
Right. And I think Michigan, I have, of course, but then again, everywhere we all think about our little bubble, right? So like around here, where we live in rural Michigan, but there's mm-hmm. still people everywhere. But mm-hmm. you know, and you get up to northern Michigan, especially in the Upper Peninsula, yeah. you know, there are miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of area that, I mean, some of it humans may have never even walked in.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you go back to the black bear, you know, mm-hmm. theory of mine. How many of you have seen a black? Okay. So how many people in Michigan have seen a black bear that's not destroying their bird feeder or their garbage can?
Right.
So if you have an animal that's not interested in your garbage,
mm-hmm.
I think it would still be interested in your deer bait pile, though. That's
right.
kind of like, okay, now. And where does every hunter in Michigan have their game camera pointed? At their bait pile.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, before baiting was illegal. Don't right. do that anymore. But,
yeah. Right. You're saying like the Bigfoot would be, but that's assuming, because what are...
Yeah, you'd have...
Of course, I mean, a lot of people are throwing carrots and
yeah.
sugar beets and apples, which you'd think...
Would attract.
Right.
Yeah. You'd have a picture of Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he's eating so many carrots, his eyes are so good, he sees the cameras.
Could be. Depends yeah. on how, right? Yeah. Depends how smart he is.
Yeah.
And to say that, you know, how is it possible no one's ever seen one? But then again, we had, how many did you say, Zach? 23,000?
23,000 is the number I came across.
So we just don't believe people when they say they saw them.
Yeah. And if you said, okay, 50% of them are bunk, you're still looking at 11, you know, how many... I'm bad at math. Was that 15,000?
Yeah, 16, you're still 11.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said 23, not 33.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's possible. What else? Do you have any other notes there on your quest to prove Bigfoot to us?
My 4-year-old believes it hard.
Yeah.
And I like that he believes it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three videos that I look at and say, okay, you know, might be something, Patterson film, mm-hmm. the Memorial Day film, and the Freeman film.
What was the second one?
Memorial Day.
Is that one we haven't seen yet?
That's one we haven't seen yet.
The Memorial Day. Let me pull that up.
It's a grainy Bigfoot running across the hillside in northern Washington. But he's getting after it. You know, you want to sign this guy to play fullback for your football team.
Nice. Now we're talking.
To me, neither one of you two seem too excited about the owl cam.
Oh, the eagle?
The eagle cam, I mean.
I like it. It's just too fuzzy, you know, because that's, yeah.
Well, again, I mean, even if you do believe, based on the camera is focused on those birds.
Right.
So you're looking at something that's in the background. Oh, here we go. Let's see what we got here.
Okay, I think I've seen this one before. So we're looking over like a large open.
Yeah, they were just kind of filming landscape, and then there he is.
This was 1996.
Yeah, and one of the theories about this is there appears to be something on the shoulders moving, and that it might be a mother carrying a infant Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call an infant Bigfoot then? Like a infant foot, because they're not big?
I guess, yeah.
A little foot?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little grainy. It's hard to see, but yeah, it sure looks like something moving on 2 feet very quickly.
Yeah.
But see, and that's, this one is more convincing to me than I think the Gimlin film is bullshit. I think it seems unlikely that a person, that guy that came forward and said that he was, you know, he was in the suit and he's got this suit and this is what I was wearing. Like, why would he do that? I don't like the way the thing's moving. It doesn't look like any wild animal to me, the way they would react because he looks back and sees them back there. I don't think they'd react that way.
But I mean, when you watch at the right speed, though, I mean, they're not running, but they're not hanging around either.
Right. But there's ways, like I remember years ago watching and thinking, like, he could have taken cover here and moved here and done this, you know, like you'd expect most animals.
But, you know, they're okay. Yeah, I had a 4-point walk under my deer stand
mm-hmm.
last time I was hunting.
Right.
And it got to 12 yards. And I mean, it bounced. And when I looked, you know, so it got about, I mean, it was close.
Uh huh.
So, it does a couple hops to the other side of the tree. Now I got to look over my other shoulder. That's when it really busted me.
Right.
It didn't take off running. It trotted away.
Oh, I've had deer walk up and lick the steps of my tree stand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Young deer. But that, I don't think anybody argues that that was a young Bigfoot. That thing was huge.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, that deer that licked your tree stand didn't know you were there.
Right.
So my one thought on that film, though, is the fact that they had the sex of the Bigfoot in there, that it was a female Bigfoot.
Right.
Because I think that's something, if you're faking it, why would you put that in there? Because I've never thought of the sex of an animal.
You know?
And if you look at wild animals, how many deer, turkeys, peacocks, you know what I mean? Like, other than that, how many wild animals do you look at and go, that's a male, that's a female?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You're like, that's a bear.
Right.
That's a coyote. That's, you know what I mean? You don't really think about.
I mean, like a bear hunter could tell the difference between a sow and a male bear, but a general person just seeing one.
There's another video out there, and I just don't know if you're going to be able to find it, and I wouldn't even know what to call it. It was like the Redwoods Bigfoot from a camper, and it's like a whole crazy story that there were these models. I don't know if they're like Playboy models or whatever, are in a camper because they're doing a photo shoot in the Redwoods area.
Uh-huh.
And a Bigfoot walked in front, and they recorded it through the windshield of the camper.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's no detail there.
Right.
But allegedly, it was displaying its phallus, which, you know, gorillas will, you know, pop a chubby and let you know who's a boss.
And it was doing that to them.
It was doing that
to the models.
Well, you know, was it intimidated? Was it, you know, hey, what's up?
Right. Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah.
No, this stuff is fun. I enjoy talking about this stuff.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things that, in my heart of hearts, I want to believe, but, you know, I acknowledge all the holes in the argument that there's no fossil evidence.
Yeah.
The DNA is inconclusive. And when they've run DNA, it's inconclusive. You know, hair is not a good source of DNA unless you get the root. And that's the thing is, oh, we have hair. We don't have the root.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I do. I mean, I brought up several times. Some of that footage in there and that Todd Standing documentary is kind of weird, but he does have some points in there that I appreciate, you know, and he does go through and he talks about he's walking through the woods and there's some limbs knocked down. And he's like, well, if this isn't, you know,
the man
couldn't do this.
Yeah. The one thing I've ever seen in the woods where I'm just like, you know, hey, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there was a weird pine nest like way up in these pine trees near my hunting camp, and it's in the national forest where it's all the straight lines of white pines.
Okay.
So you're up far enough that it couldn't be anything big, but there were just all these pine boughs arranged in like a nest.
Hmm.
And it's not a Bigfoot nest because yeah. you know, that part of the tree ain't supporting anything, even my size, 200 yeah. pounds. So I wondered if it was porcupines or something like that. So, I mean, stuff gets arranged out in the woods by animals or by nature and just wind and blowdowns.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, oh, we got these trees crossed. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
No, that's true.
A lot of that stuff, then these experts,
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, this is a sign, you know, or.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna actually pick this book up myself because I think it would be an interesting read, a fun read.
Do you know if that book is available on audiobook?
I don't know.
Probably not because it's got a lot of pictures and stuff in it, diagrams.
Yeah.
So probably not so much.
One of the most compelling evidence I have for Bigfoot existing
mm-hmm.
was that, you know, after watching a couple episodes of Monster Quest, I switched deer hunting from my 257 Roberts to a 300 Magnum.
Uh-huh.
Because you just never know.
So the evidence is that you took a gun in the woods capable of killing a Bigfoot.
Just in case. I don't think I would have to, but you never know.
So answer me this. If you were in the woods hunting and you saw a Bigfoot, what would you do?
I always carry my Nikon with me when I'm hunting. So I would take a picture of it with my camera.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the
thing. You carry a full DSL?
Yeah. A Nikon 3300.
Camera.
Yeah.
In the blind with you.
Usually, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because nowadays I'm hunting from a box blind.
Okay.
Bow hunting tree stand, I sometimes take it, depending on how spacious the tree stand is.
Uh-huh.
That's my hobby. I love doing it. And my theory on hunting is every time you go in the woods, you can see something you've never seen before.
Right.
I've had owls come down and grab chipmunks off my corn pile
mm-hmm.
and fly off. And it's awesome.
Did you get a picture of it?
No. It happened too fast.
Right.
Have you gotten some cool pictures, though, from your...
Yeah, yeah. I'll show them to you. I got a couple of them on my phone. A couple of weeks back, I was grouse hunting and didn't see a grouse. But I had my camera with me. I came up on this creek that was just filled with steelhead and maybe king salmon.
Really?
Spawning on a gravel bar. I stood there and watched them for 2 hours, took a bunch of pictures. Yeah, and nowadays, I'd almost rather do that than shoot anything but maybe a deer.
Oh, there's plenty of times that I've been in a tree stand. You know, I still, you know, because Becky, this time of year when I'm out hunting, it's like you spend so much time out there and you don't come home with a deer, but once during the year, it's like, yeah, I see a lot of deer. I see all kinds of stuff. Watch fox running around and I just love being outside and kind of unplugging. And I never thought about taking a good camera with me.
Yeah. I saw a fox the other day. It's the first time I've seen a fox in probably 10 years. Yeah. Saw a fox.
We had one run across our backyard here a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
There used to be one that lived out by my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw it quite a bit. And I think we're on like four or five generations because every once in a while I'll go out there and I'll see one running around.
Yeah. I saw one time, it's been probably 10 years ago, but a gray fox, which I didn't know existed around here.
I've never seen one, only red.
Yeah. And hopefully I'm not crazy and they do exist here, but it was when I lived.
Think they do.
I used to live down the road here, just off Mayflower Road, and I was deer hunting and I see this thing popping through the woods and. It looked just like a red fox, but it was gray. It just went running right through.
And you know, and the other thing I'll point out is, okay, all these hunters are in the woods with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they shoot a Bigfoot if they see a Bigfoot with a gun?
That's why I asked you.
I think my hesitation would be uncertainty.
Yeah.
Would be more
what
so.
What if it is a person?
Yeah. What if it is some asshole out here dressed up in a suit that I just shot and killed? Now I'm a fucking murderer because
right.
I thought it'd be funny to kill Bigfoot. You know, like that's... Yeah. That would be my hesitation on pulling the trigger on something like that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, if it is, you know, and there are only so many of them left in the world, how would you feel after you drop a Bigfoot?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
So you get to say you proved it, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. You know,
I wouldn't shoot.
Most people who don't hunt don't realize how much hunters actually love animals.
Right.
You know, and we do see them as food.
And it's a conservation effort. We've actually increased the population by hunting.
Yeah.
By helping manage the herd. Yeah, but and that's why I ask, because I don't think, you know, because they say, well, why has no one ever killed one? There's never been a dead one found. That's the thing that gets me. But then you wonder, too, how smart are they in the evolutionary cycle?
But
we bury our dead.
Yeah. Do they eat them? Do they, you know, what do they
do? Do they eat them or do they bury them?
Yeah. And Neanderthals did things like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, let's assume that one has been shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Would somebody automatically feel guilty enough and not want to say, hey, this is what I did? You know, and some people out there would be like, oh, I shot him.
Right. Well, but it would certainly bring up a a conundrum within that person for a couple of reasons. Number one, okay, I shot this thing. I can prove Bigfoot's real. I have a dead Bigfoot here. But then you start thinking, well, I don't have a license to shoot Bigfoot. Is it okay? Is it legal for me to shoot Bigfoot? Am I going to get arrested because I shot Bigfoot?
Well, not only that, in today's age, you know, that dentist that shot Cecil the lion, oh, his life's ruined.
Right.
So if you're the hunter that shoots Bigfoot today in the Twitter, they're going to dox you and people know where you're going to live.
Right.
And you're going to boycott your business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It changes things entirely.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of reasons not to do that because, you know, and it's different now in 2019. If say it was 1967.
Oh, you'd drive into town with it strapped to your hood.
Yeah. And because, you know, what entertains people has changed over the years so much, you know, where now it's like, that was a big deal. They're making museums for Bigfoot and all these people because there's nothing else happening now in the days of 5,000 cable channels on TV and a million podcasts and YouTube, and somebody pops up with, hey, I caught a Bigfoot. Like, who fuck? There's going to be like the who fucking cares people, and then the you're a monster because you shot Bigfoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it has to be true as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, not long ago, they had the people in North Carolina that had the Bigfoot carcass in their freezer, and then
it turned out to be
a frozen suit.
Yeah.
It was a frozen suit?
Essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. There's so many hoaxes out there about it.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Zach, did you get through all of your points?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you get through all your stuff, Tommy?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, so I think for me, I'm right back where I was when I started. Mm-hmm. I want to believe in Bigfoot. I don't know if he's real or not.
You know, that what will make you believe in Bigfoot is, you know, this happened to me last year. And it, you know, I'm sitting back to the woods by the campfire in the hunting camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the springtime. And I just hear crunch, 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 crunch. And I realize my pistol's in the trailer. So it was either the dog man. If you're not from Michigan, you don't know the Michigan dog man. But it's a BS folktale legend about a crypto animal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was convinced in that moment it was Bigfoot coming to get me. And it just turned out to be a raccoon. But he was stomping through the woods with attitude, though.
Right. And if he put all of his little tracks together, it may make a Bigfoot thing.
So I'll go all dad on you for a moment. I have two small children. And there's a Pixar movie that came out 2 years ago now called Smallfoot. Adorable movie. And the principle of it is the exact opposite of what's happening. It is a Yeti colony that one of them finds a person. And then he goes back trying to convince the Yetis that there are people. There are small feet out there. But it's the people.
That's clever.
It's a super cute movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they find people?
Mm-hmm, they find people.
And they prove that we exist?
Yep.
Well, that's
to their colony. So that's what we're trying to do here, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all know people. If you're an intelligent bipedal animal, wouldn't you avoid people?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
All right. With that being said, I think it's about time we wrap it up. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. And Zach, as always, thanks for being my friend, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
All right. Love you. Take care. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. If you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.